every week. That was so good. Thank you, worship team. Yes, so wonderful. Man, I felt the Holy Spirit in that worship this morning. Praise God. ESL is a strong ministry in our church. And in case you don't know, most of you know, ESL stands for English as a Second Language. And so that ministry that we have of ESL is helping people to learn English. And we have multiple languages that we're working with. And I just commend so much Kathy and her entire team. It seems like they are now having record crowds. And so God is proving that this is a vital ministry of our church. And it's going to be vital going forward, and that's one of the things that we always acknowledge in our transition teams meetings. So God's blessing. Now today I asked Mark Schultz, who serves in ESL, do you teach? You one of the who teaches in ESL, if he'll recite our memory verse in Spanish and English. Uh-oh. Like, we won't know if he gets it right in Spanish. As he is in line, we have fellowship with one another, in the blood of Jesus.
Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And then in Spanish, for those of you that are ready for that, pero si vivimos en la luz, como así como él está en la luz, tenemos comunión unos con otros, y la sangre de su Hijo, Jesucristo, nos limpia de todo pecado.
Well done, well done. Thank you, Mark. You may have noticed when you come in, no notes today, and that teaches us two things. First, it teaches us that God commands his message and his timing. What a wrestling match I had with the Lord this week just to understand what he wanted me to preach today. And I didn't even get done till Friday, and by then it was too late to produce the notes and everything. But that's okay. You know, maybe God just wants us all intently listening. Here's the other thing that it teaches us, is that how important it is for you to be praying for me. Now that sounds self-serving. It's not. It's just reality. I mean, some weeks are challenging, and I stand in need of your prayers. So here's the way we need to look at this today. This is hot off the press, and God wants you to hear it. And obviously, I was going in the wrong direction, and he had to pull me back several times to get me into the message that he wants you to hear. I'm just the mouthpiece, and I'm thankful to be that. I don't want to be anything more. So with that in mind, that's why we don't have the notes. I was able to get the notes to Riley for the screen if you want to handwrite notes. But with that in mind, we're in Experiencing God Week 11. And the title of the message is God Desires Our Spiritual Fellowship. And once again, I would like to read the memory verse, 1 John 1:7. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, that's an important thing to focus in on, because as believers, and we'll see it in this message, is that we're to be as he is. We're to walk in the light as he is in the light. We're to love as he loves. We're to fellowship as he fellowships, and you'll see that in the message. It goes on to say, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity to be here this morning. And Father, I realize that as we come together, that every person in here has their own story. They have their own challenges. Father, they may have come in here today with struggles, with heartaches, with concerns, with fears. Lord, only you know. Others may come in today so full of joy for being on a mountaintop experience with you. But Lord, one thing's for sure is everybody here needs to hear you speak. And Lord, I'm asking you to open the hearts and the minds now of your people, of this body of believers, so that we would be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through the message and into our hearts what we most need to hear, and that we would respond to it. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just to give even more of an ESL flavor this morning, we're going to go from Spanish to Greek, okay? And yes, I know Greek, two words. And I hope I can pronounce them right this morning. Today's message is going to focus on two Greek words that are central to our Christian faith. Central to our faith. The first Greek word, you know, if you've been going through experiencing God this week, it's koinonia. And koinonia is what God desires to have with us. God desires koinonia with us. Koinonia is a Greek word with no English equivalent. And so, with that in mind, it's most frequently translated as fellowship, and it embraces this idea of fellowship with God and with other believers that's led by the Holy Spirit that's in us. It's not just a fellowship of, hey, they're my friend. It's a fellowship on a deep, spiritual, meaningful level. Koinonia. Koinonia is the fellowship that God wants with us. From the very beginning, we see God in Genesis as he is walking in the garden in the cool of the day, looking for Adam and Eve because he wants to have this intimacy with them, this koinonia fellowship with them. And then, like the other bookend, we see Jesus in Revelation desiring the same fellowship with us in Revelation 3:20, when he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." And I love that intimacy of dining together. You know, that's what I love to do with Susan. It's fellowship. It's an intimate fellowship that Jesus wants with each one of us. And this is the same intimate relationship described in the second reality of experiencing God. It reads like this: God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. This reality is the foundation of all the other realities of experiencing God that we've been studying. It all begins right there. Everything is founded, everything begins with a koinonia relationship with God. And so listen to how Paul uses koinonia in prayer to express this fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, he's ending a prayer, and here's what he says: "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion," the koinonia, "the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." That's how he ended his prayer. He wanted everybody to hear that. He describes all believers as those that need that kind of fellowship with God. He desires for us to know, as it said, the grace of the Lord Jesus. He desires for us to experience the love of God. And he desires for us to have that communion of the Holy Spirit among us. That's what Paul was praying for us. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit should naturally produce a koinonia fellowship among believers. It's an outflow of our fellowship with God. God not only desires koinonia with us, but God desires koinonia among us. So I want you to look at this. Koinonia is for believers. And we see this in 1 John 1:3-4. It says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us," koinonia with us. "And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And I love this. He says, "And these things we write to you that your joy might be full." Man, if we can get into this koinonia fellowship with each other where we're all in agreement, we're all on this fellowship level that's led of the Holy Spirit, we will be a church filled with joy. That His joy would be with us. Koinonia is a deep and loving fellowship with God that overflows to one another. The greater our fellowship with God, listen, the greater our fellowship will be with one another. How's your fellowship with God? That's where it all has to start. That deep and loving, meaningful relationship that's real and personal that He wants with you. A fellowship, the greater our fellowship with one another, listen, the greater our impact on the world. So the greater our fellowship with God, the greater our fellowship with each other. The greater our fellowship with each other, the greater our impact in the world. This is coming into play right now. Listen, experiencing God was perfect timing for this church. So many of you have come to me and said that. Every week somebody's telling me, man, this is exactly what we needed as a church. Those that are saying that, they get it. And what they understand is that God is calling us up to a higher level of serving Him in the world, of being His light and His love in the world. And He's saying, first, you got to start with me. You got to have that fellowship with me. And then once you have it with me, you got to start having it with each other. And then when you have it with each other, then you're ready. Then you're ready for me to do great things in this community in and through you. Now, Strong Concordance, some of you might have one at home. It's the concordance where we can look up the definitions and the original Greek words and text and the Old and Hebrew and the Old Testament, Greek and the New Testament. And so I looked it up just to, again, help us get a better handle on this idea of koinonia. And here's how Strong's Concordance defines koinonia. And it defines it in these terms. And I want you to listen to these terms because what you're going to notice is that a lot of this relates to our fellowship with each other. It says partnership, contributory help, participation, sharing in, communion, spiritual fellowship, a fellowship in the Spirit. What is shared in common as the basis of fellowship. Pretty much all that is talking about how we have this koinonia fellowship with each other. And by the way, we see it in the first church. Let's look at koinonia in the first church in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 42. Just listen to so many words in here that relate directly to what we're talking about today. It says, and they, talking about the church, the new church that had just formed, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, koinonia, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone has need. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Did you catch all of those koinonia phrases there? I mean, I highlighted some. Doctrine, you know, our Sunday school classes together, that fellowship in there. Fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers, our prayer times on Wednesdays and Sunday morning, our prayer huddles. Think about all the things that we have going on here that helps to undergird this fellowship that God wants us to have with each other. It says they were together. It says they had all things in common. Man, any church that can get right there is a church that God can use in a mighty way. If everybody has everything in common with each other. They sold their possessions. They divided them among all. They took care of anybody that had a need. So they continued daily with one accord. In other words, there's that togetherness again, with one accord in the temple. They were breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food and they had this gladness and simplicity of heart. And then we see in the next verse the result of koinonia among us. In verse 47 it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So listen, if we have a koinonia fellowship among us here, we're going to be praising God. We're going to have fellowship among the people. And it's not talking about just the people in the church. It's talking about the people in the community. I don't know about you, but I pray often for God to give me favor. I begin by saying, give me favor with the members of this church. But give me favor with anybody I talk to, wherever I go, God, give it. We want that favor, and the results of this fellowship is praise and favor. And on top of that, salvations. I don't know, did I share it here yet, that in our recent Wednesday night prayer meeting, we had a man that came in and he prayed to receive Christ. And he's been in the church for several weeks now. He's on vacation this week. We've already started discipling him in the faith. Listen, that's evidence that we're going in the right direction. That's like the first fruits. Praising, having favor, salvation. And so as we read of people being saved there, that leads us to the second Greek word. The second Greek word was not in experiencing God this week, but you've heard it. It's agape. The second Greek word is agape. Agape is another Greek word without an English equivalent. Another one. But I want to kind of give you an idea of what it means. Agape is the Greek word used in the New Testament to describe God's love. That's what it means. Agape, whenever you see something where it's talking about God's love, it's talking about God's agape. Now listen to this. Agape is a response of love. You'll see why this is God's love. A response of love to unworthy people, to sinners, even those who are enemies. I think about what Jesus said, Matthew 5:44. He says, agape your enemies. Love your enemies. That's what Christ did. He loved even his enemies. You know that's hard to do. That's hard for me to do. When someone is treating us badly, when they're speaking against us, when they're coming against us, and yet we're still to love them, well, that's the agape love that God wants us to develop in our hearts and in our lives. Agape is a commitment of the will to love others regardless of their response. That's not easy. Man, it's easy to love those that love you. But if they don't love you, can you have a commitment of your will to love them regardless of how they respond to you? That's agape love. Agape is a love that gives and a love that seeks the best for the one being loved. In other words, God, his agape love, he's seeking the best for me. That's why I got so emotional on that third song. I don't even remember the name now, but man, it was speaking to my heart because I know. Listen, if you get as deep as I got, you know when you got set free. I can't help but raise my hands and say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm a sinner no more. I've been set free. I'm never going back. Praise God. Some of y'all get that, don't you? Some of y'all get that. Lost my place now. We can sense the spirit of agape in Isaiah 55:1. I'm going to read it the way it's written. Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why? Because God cares more about the one that he's showing the love to. He's saying, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you don't have. You just come. And I will feed you at my table. There's another song. We didn't even compare notes, did we? Come to the table. He's got a table spread for us. And listen, that table is a table that comes through salvation. And he says, anybody can come. Anybody can have this. You don't have anything you don't have to have anything to buy this. I'm giving it to you. I love you. I agape you. He wants everybody to feel that. Listen to God's agape for the world. John 3, 16 and 17. For God so agape the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the agape love that God desires to be on display among us. You know, God's agape love for the world was forever proven by Christ's death on the cross. Forever proven. Nobody has to doubt that God has such a love as we're describing here when he let his Son go and bleed and die for us, for all our guilt, for all our shame. And here's what you got to understand. This is the depth of love that God expects us as believers to have for each other. That's tough. That's tough. Listen to God's agape love for the church. John 13, 34 and 35. This is Jesus speaking. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And as I have loved you, you also love one another. By this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. And all that is talking about that agape love. If you go back to the Greek, you see that. And here's what's interesting about this. It says Jesus gave us a new commandment. And you think, wasn't we always commanded to love from the beginning? Well, sure, I think anybody reflecting God should reflect his love. But here's what Jesus was saying. This was the night before he went to the cross. He said, I'm about to show you a new love like you've never seen before. I'm about to show you a fulfilling love of everything you've been hoping for all these centuries, all these years, all this time that from Genesis until now. I'm about to show you a new love, and I'm giving you a new commandment because of it. And so he went to the cross the next day and he died, and God showed his agape love for us all. And then he says, this is now a new commandment for believers to express God's agape love to each other. That kind of love, like you've never seen before. And now you see it, and so it's a new commandment for you to fulfill. And he also says in verse 35, this is why. So the world looking on and seeing God's love among us will look at each other and say, there must be a God. There must be a God. Look at those people. Look at how they love each other. Look at how they love us. There must be a God in heaven. So let's examine that level of God's love among us. Let's take a pop quiz here. I got three questions. And I'm going to go slow. I'm going to give you a verse for each one. And I want you to examine your own heart. Remember, just in the recent message, we talked about this is a body. And we all need to be functioning in the body. And we may need to make sure that we are functioning in the body, because if we're non-functioning in this body, then we're a disability. Remember that? So now I want you to measure that how much are you functioning in this body when Jesus says, I've given you a new commandment to love like I love. I've told you to have koinonia fellowship led by the Holy Spirit. So let's examine ourselves here. Here's the first question. Do you ever find yourself speaking negatively with some about others? Do you? Do you ever find yourself speaking negatively with some about others? Romans 12, 9 and 10 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Listen, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. There's no such thing as secret huddles in God's church. That's not what God wants. There's such a thing as that. I hope that doesn't happen here. And if it does, then if we're in those little huddles and we're the ones that are talking negatively about this or about that or about, well, they're changing this, they're going to do that. And you know, I can imagine when we get together and we do our presentation, as awesome as it's going to be, and as much work and prayer that the transition team has poured into this, and as obvious to me as it is that God has led us to share with you the greatest opportunities that we have as a church to grow again, to reach the community again, I would imagine there will be some that will speak negatively of it. Well, I want you to understand that's not what God has called you into this body to do. It's not what he's called you to do. He says love must be sincere. It says we need to be devoted to one another in love. We need to honor another. We need to honor others above ourselves. When we start standing up and saying, I think it ought to be this way, and I think I'll gather a few more around me that think it ought to be this way, you're so far out of the will of God, you might as well go find another church. And frankly, if you do that, we'd be better off. I know. See, I'm the transitional pastor. I have to say things like this. Listen, I wrestled over this message all week, and this is what God gave me, and the chips have to fall where they may, because some people need conviction to come to a place to where they understand what it means to be in koinonia fellowship with each other, to be filled with agape love for each other, so that we can be effective out in the world. That's our calling. To be the light of Jesus in the world. I'm going to try to lighten up, because I know this is stepping on your toes. Here's the second question. Do you ever consider yourself more important than others in this fellowship? Listen to Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Selfish ambition. People that you know, they just want to be seen. They want to be out front. They want to be considered somebody important. Selfish ambition. Vain conceit. You know, I hope that there's nobody like that in here, but I'm just saying, in my experience in church work, I've seen them in every other church I've been to. So, you know, we've got to check ourselves, because when we are that person, we're not in koinonia fellowship with one another. We're not loving each other with the agape love of God. We're not. Here's the last question. It's not any easier. Is there anyone you struggle to love, accept, or support in this body? Anyone you struggle to love, accept, or support in this body? I'm going to read 1 John 3, 16 through 18, and I'm reading it from the Message because I just like the way it says it. Here's what it says. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Isn't that what we're talking about today? Agape love, understanding how we give that, how we give it away, how we've received it from God, how we've received it from Christ, and now we're to be a conduit to let it flow out of us into others. It says this is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. That's how we understand it. Sacrifice. That's the kind of love we're talking about here, a sacrificial love. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear. My dear children, let's not just talk about love, let's practice real love. Let's practice agape love. Let's practice sacrificial love. Let's practice putting others ahead of ourselves. Let's practice serving. Let's practice a fellowship that's led of the Holy Spirit. Let's practice being a body of believers where every member is involved, doing its part, and not just sitting by the sideline somewhere. Let's practice this. So I'm going to say it's time to respond. And in doing so, I want you to hear again God's agape love for the world. We read it. I wanted to read it again. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now just think about that for a minute. What's most important to God? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The highest price that God could pay, he did it for the purpose of people not perishing and having eternal life. And I would ask you this, are we as a body of believers the type of people that say we will go to every extreme, we will sacrifice everything for what is most important to God, that people not perish and that everyone would come to eternal life? That's what God's waiting on. When he finds a church like that, that's when he'll pour out the blessings of heaven like you've never experienced before. And it all begins with our hearts. It all begins with my heart. It begins with your heart. It begins with you. Examine yourself openly and honestly. And if you see that you're not where you need to be with God, then you're going to come and make that different today. You know, unless there's agape love in our church, we'll never be fit for God's use in the world. I want you to hear that. Do you have that in your heart? Do you have that in your life for this church, for this fellowship? If we can't show God's love to each other, how can we possibly show it to a lost and dying world? 73% outside of our doors. Hit a lost person anywhere you throw a rock. I remember when I was that person. I remember when I was single and I was lost as a goose and I was living my life and I didn't care about God and I didn't care about people. I cared about me. I lived in Acworth, Georgia. And you know what? There was probably four churches within 2 miles of me. Nobody ever came looking. Nobody from any of those churches ever came knocking on my door. Nobody to warn me that I was running from God, that I was out. Nobody to invite me into his fellowship. Nobody to show me an agape love. All I had was all my wild friends that were just wild, just like me. And no church. I wonder how many outside these doors are just like that. And what are we doing? When's the last time you knocked on a door? I know. Hey, listen. I'm in this with y'all. But here's what I'm saying to you is that we're about to take off. I told y'all when I first come here, we got to build a runway, and we've built that runway, and we're ready to take off, and we're ready to go out into this community, and we're going to tell you all about that at that get-together. But what I'm saying to you is that we have to be concerned with what God is concerned with. We need to sacrifice for what God sacrifices for. And one day, we will stand before him face to face. And he's going to ask us, what did you do with my son? What did you do with my agape love that I ask you to share? What did you do with it? And we're going to have to answer. And won't be anybody there to make excuses for us. Won't be anybody there we can point to. It was his fault. It's going to be you and it's going to be God. And he's going to ask you tough questions. God's agape love for the world. Let me ask you this question, and we're gonna sing. Do you feel the Lord near you right now? Do you feel him near you? Do you feel a conviction in your heart right now? Well, I want to tell you what you do about that. Isaiah tells us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. If you feel him right now, he's near. If he's convicting you right now, he's near. This is when you need to seek him. Here's what he says to do. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I have no doubt, I believe with all my heart is beating out of my chest, that God has spoken to hearts today in this fellowship, and you know that God is near, and you know that he's speaking to you, and he's telling you, you got to fix something in your life. And as they sing, if that's you, you need to call on him while he's near, because you'll go out of here and that feeling will subside. But you don't know, will he ever call again? Will he ever come knocking again for that intimate relationship with you? And maybe you've never prayed to ask Jesus in your heart, but yet you feel him knocking today going, I want to come in. I want to have intimacy with you. I want to dine with you. And you need to just come forward and say, preacher, I don't even know how, but I want to receive Christ because I feel him knocking on the door of my heart and I want to open it to him. However God is dealing with you today, as they sing, make these steps an altar and come and make things right with God, so that we can be the kind of church that is going to be of value to him in our community. Stand and let's sing.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the
on Sunday mornings at 9:15 a.m. for a Sunday school class and at 10:30 a.m. for a worship service. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Ciao!